censored stories of 2013 and 14. At 9 o'clock, Teresa hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Per Fogering interviews award-winning author Robert McChesney about his new book, Blowing the Roof Off the 21st Century, Media, Politics, and the Struggle for Post-Capitalist Democracy. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, interviews, headlines, and commentary. At 10:15 is Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, host Lisa Loving speaks with beloved Portland author Molly Gloss about her new book, Falling from Horses. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk, a monthly program featuring interviews and discussions by works of African-American authors. That was a beautiful segue, Ian. It is now time once again for News from the VU, our weekly program, Wednesdays around 5:45, where we hear from folks inside of KBOO about happenings inside and around KBOO. Tonight, we're with station co-manager Mike Crenshaw, who's just back from traveling with the African Hip Hop Caravan for 3 weeks, which we will be talking about tonight. So, the phone lines are going to be open. If you'd like to call in with a question, especially to Mike about the African Hip Hop Caravan, start dialing right now. The number is 503-231-8187. That is 503-231-8187. But first, Mike, what's going on around KBOO these days?
Well, we've got a 3-day drive coming up. And I want to say thank you to all the people that gave, that donated yesterday on our KBOO Giving Tuesday. Looks like we raised about $1,700. And starting December 4th through the 6th, we have the KBOO 3-day drive. We're going to have gifts of hoodies, t-shirts, and flash drives, and a handful of new things. And there's going to be some good programming. I'm going to be on Friday night with DJ Radical Clavicle. We're going to be playing some music from the African Hip Hop Caravan and talking a little bit about the trip we both took last year and the trip I just got back from this year. Our goal for the 3-day drive is 20K, and we're focusing on new members and matching donations. So if you have not become a member, or if you are a member and you know some people that aren't, please reach out to your friends, families, and encourage folks you know in the community to become members of KBOO. We've got some events coming up. Every second Thursday, we have KBOO at the Clinton Street Theater, and we're super lucky and grateful to have Clinton Street Theater venue free again for us for another year in 2015. So we'll continue to be showing movies down there on Thursday, December 11th at 7 at the Clinton Street. At 7 p.m. in the evening, we'll be showing Broken Cameras, and it's an unparalleled look at life in the West Bank. The first ever Palestinian film to be nominated for the Best Documentary Feature. And it's a deeply personal firsthand account of life and nonviolent resistance in Bilin, a West Bank village surrounded by Israeli settlements, shot by a farmer, a Palestinian farmer, who brought his first camera in 2005 to record the birth of his youngest son, Jabril. And the film basically chronicles the life in Palestinian life in the West Bank and the actual destruction of five of the filmmakers' cameras over the course of documenting life. So again, that's going to be on Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, and also on Friday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at the Oregon Labor Center at 3645 Southeast 32nd Avenue in Portland. We're sponsoring the Portland premiere of the internationally acclaimed film Shadows of Liberty. And this movie reveals the extraordinary truth behind the news media and looks at the question, why have we let a handful of powerful corporations write the news? So looking at journalism and censorship and how journalism has been turned into a private profit zone by major corporations. So that's on Friday, December 12th at 7 at the Oregon Labor Center.
Sounds like some great events people can get out there and enjoy. Mike, you just got off the plane from Africa. Mm-hmm. How many days ago?
I got off the plane last night.
Last night. Well, yeah. Welcome
0
back.
0 days ago.
Thank you. Yeah.
So what can you tell us? Where'd you go? What'd you see?
I went to Cape Town for a week, Harare, Zimbabwe, Arusha, Tanzania, and Nairobi, Kenya. And in each of those cities, I was hosted by local hip-hop collectives as part of the African Hip-Hop Caravan. We played shows. We did symposiums. We engaged youth, students, academics, community members, and activists around the questions of what hip-hop can do and how hip-hop can be used to engage communities around social issues.
How did you travel between the locations?
Well, I want to thank everybody that donated to the GoFundMe campaign. We raised a little under $1,500. The collectives in Harare, Zimbabwe, and Cape Town, South Africa kind of started the caravan in 2013. And there were about 11 of us traveling during that caravan. This time we only had enough money to send myself and Costa, Makuli Costa Sejora from Cape Town, all the way to through all four stops. So we, Costa and I, were able to fly from South Africa to Zimbabwe, to Arusha, to Nairobi. And then I came home from Nairobi. He went back home.
So it wasn't, South Africa. An overland caravan then?
Well, for a few of us, it was.
Oh, really?
There were some other artists from Cape Town that took the bus on to Harare. So the caravan moves however we can. If we have enough money to send people, some of us on flights, and others do over the ground transportation, they will. Last year, we did move on a bus all the way through, and I'm glad we had enough money for us to fly and cover that ground this year, because the amount of time it takes to travel over the ground on the continent is a lot longer than it would be here. The infrastructure with roads isn't as developed, so if we would have tried to take the bus between stops, we just wouldn't have gotten as far as we did.
Not to mention that most people just don't appreciate what the linear distance between those cities is.
Yeah.
Even if you did have good infrastructure.
Yeah, exactly. And I couldn't tell you in kilometers what or miles what it is, but I do know that the continental United States fits inside continental Africa, the continent of Africa, four times. So we went from the southern region to the eastern region. And Kenya is both in the eastern and the central region. So
you must have seen quite a bit of variation then as mm-hmm. far as the cities you were in. Can you talk a little bit about some of the contrasts?
Yeah, the Cape Town is a major city in South Africa. I don't recall the population, but it's pretty big. And it feels a lot like a city in the American West. It's kind of arid, dry, mild to warm climate, and it's on the coast of the Indian and Atlantic Oceans, and there are mountains. It's a beautiful place. Harare, Zimbabwe is inland. Zimbabwe is landlocked. Again, it's dry, but it's a little more lush. There's a lot more green vegetation all around the city of Harare than you're going to see in Cape Town. Arusha, Tanzania was one pretty much in the surrounding area, the most beautiful place I've been in Africa, I think. The town is right next to Mount Meru, which is a volcano. It's still active, I guess. The volcano is covered in really thick, lush forests, and there's a lot of really fertile land in the area. So there's a lot of vegetation. There's lots of streams, lots of rivers. You're going to see lots of birds. There's lots of monkeys if you walk in the right mm-hmm. forest. There was this tree I got to walk through the forest and visit called the Spirit Tree, and it's thousands of years old. I mean, I'd have to show you a picture of it. I posted it on my Facebook. It's the roots that come out of the trunk of the tree are vertical, and from the top of one of the roots down to where the root actually goes into the ground is like 6-7 feet, and they look like sheets. They're like,
oh,
yeah, it's crazy.
Buttress roots.
Is that what they're called? Buttress roots?
Yeah, where it's like a thin wall of
root. Yeah. So Arusha, I want to go back. I didn't get a chance to climb the mountain, but it was one of the most physically impressive places I've been on the continent. And the people in Tanzania are great. You know, people kind of gave me a heads up. They're like, in each country, in each city you're going to go to, you're going to find there's a little bit of a different vibe. And I found the folks in Tanzania to be the most laid-back people I've met in Africa. I found friendly people everywhere. Nairobi was the biggest city in the last city. And people, typical of a lot of big cities in the so-called developing world, people will warn you of the dangers and say things like, don't walk alone at night. I didn't encounter any problems. Everybody was friendly. What I will say about Nairobi is it's fast. It felt like some of the parts in the city felt a lot like New York, more than other places I've been. And because of the poverty and the disparity between the wealth and people who live in abject poverty, hustling is a thing. So people will not feel ashamed of asking you to buy them things because they're like, you're from the West. And so that will get frustrating at times because there was this expectation that since I was from the States that I kind of could afford to give people whatever they asked for.
Did you experience or learn anything on this trip that you didn't catch the last time you were there?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that I got to revisit Zimbabwe and Cape Town, I spent a little more time in Khayelitsha and Philippi, two of the townships, aka ghettos in Cape Town. I got to visit with some students that are waging a campaign to have a proper school building. Right now they're out in portables, and when it's cold they're really cold, and when it's hot they're really hot. It was great to interact with those students. Those are students that work with the local hip hop collective, Sounds of the South. I got to hang out in some places that wouldn't really be frequented by tourists, and just kind of see the local day-to-day activity of a lot of the common working class people in Cape Town, more so than I did on my last trip. I also got to spend a little bit more time on the coast and outside of Khayelitsha. Khayelitsha is one of the biggest poor black townships in Cape Town, but it's also about 2 kilometers from some really beautiful beachfront. And so it was good to go down there and spend some time at the water. And then again, going to Zimbabwe this time, this is the third time I've been to Zimbabwe since 2012, and I felt that the sanctions that are in place are making, each time I go back, it's harder and harder for a number of people that I interact with to get by. The dollar is, they use American dollars there, and the dollar isn't going as far. The cost of living seems to have gone up, and people have less money to spend. And the way that that shows up in local austerity is around power cuts. So the power was out a little bit more than it was on the last couple of visits. And then, of course, the two new places that I hadn't been, in Arusha, Tanzania, as well as Nairobi, Kenya, was really exciting. The hip-hop scene in Arusha, big shout out to SWA, Save the Underground Artist, is amazing. It's one of the most thriving underground and conscious hip-hop scenes that I've ever been to.
We have about 2 minutes left. Is there anything else you'd want to tell us just about the music? And then if we have time, it'd be interesting to hear about if people were aware of Ferguson.
Okay. So people were asking me, they're like, Mike, man, your country's burning right now. What do you think about it? So people are aware. They're looking. And it's what I find really interesting is that I grew up looking at pictures of conflict and footage from conflicts in all over Africa and the global south, and how repressive regimes were there, and their use of force through the police and the military was something that always, I guess, seemed profound to me. And to now be in those places, looking at America from those places, and to see that the repression here is just as bad as it looked there, is something. So people, their eyes are on America. They're waiting to see what we're going to do with this and do about it. And then, I'm sorry, Aaron, what was the second?
Music.
Just the music, yeah. You know, just the landscape and the cities, all that sounds really captivating. And I'm just curious about the music as well.
So the music is good. I'm going to be playing some Friday night between 7 and 10. I recorded about 9 different songs with the artists that hosted the caravan in each city, and the languages that I got to share with the artists that I was recording with were all mother tongues, from Shona to Xhosa to Ndebele, and a lot of Swahili, and I got to learn some words, you know, Zabalaza, that's Xhosa for the struggle, and I'll tell you more, but I gotta learn, and I'll be going back next year, and hopefully I will be rapping in Swahili.
Yeah, last question was, is there gonna be another caravan next year?
The caravan is gonna keep going on, as we say, in the caravan is going, moving, and it won't stop. So yes, next year there'll be another.
That is excellent. Thank you very much, Mike, for giving us a recap on Very Little Sleep.
Yeah, thanks, Thank Mike. You. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Cool.
This is KBO Portland. Up next is Treasures from the Archive. We're going to hear Stokely Carmichael and H. Wraparound talking about the organizing for the release of Huey P. Newton from Oakland in 1968.
We are happy to announce a 7-hour special edition of the Grateful Dead and Friends starting at noon on Saturday, December 6th. We'll have live music from local artists Scott Law, Louis Longmire, Scott Pemberton Trio, and closing things out with the Garcia Birthday Band. Tune in and tell your friends to listen and become a member of KBOO Community Radio. The Grateful Dead and Friends special Saturday, December 6th. From noon to 7 p.m.
KBOO at the Clinton, a monthly film.